You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, the show entitled Expansion. I am Sophia, your host, and my guest is Lorraine Murray, geoscientist, and she just now introduced the concept of HAARP being the system by which environmental crises are created. And I assume this is to push us all into one world government and control our lives. That if they tell us that something, insurance companies call natural calamities acts of God. And I guess this is a way of creating an enemy that is on an even bigger scale than, for instance, the Muslim terrorists. They started out by telling us that we had this common enemy. Everybody in the world had the enemy of Muslims, especially the United States. And now they have made the weather into an enemy, nature into an enemy. And I think you mentioned the title of that document, Weather is a Force Multiplier, Weather as a Force Multiplier.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's an article that came out on August 12th in the science pages of the New York Times by Cornelia Dean. She's a noted science writer, the title of which is Handle with Care, referring to the Earth. And the subtitle is, at what point should we consider the long-term ramifications of technological development? Now, the content of this piece is extremely, sublimely ignorant of the real technology at work against us. They blather on about putting different kinds of reflectors up in the atmosphere and also plans of companies that want to put carbon-absorbing plankton in the ocean. This is all, I suppose, being considered, but it is the, I guess, mainstream or plebeian level of knowledge and discussion to have people yak about things like this. Should we? Shouldn't we? Is it ethical? Isn't it? We don't know how it's going to affect us in 20 years. But I want to establish here for listeners, and I think all of our listeners know this, but hopefully the show will get to those who don't, that there's another level of technology that's never being discussed out there, and that is what you're about to talk about.
Yes, and I'll just quote from the National Industrial Security Program Manual draft, which was published March 1992 and provided by the U.S. Department of Defense to industrial contractors. Quote, cover stories about projects must be believable and cannot reveal any information regarding the true nature of the project. So that's from their draft manual to defense contractors.
Mm.
And I attended a 9/11 congressional briefing, which Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney sponsored in July 22, 2005. I was actually in Congress listening, and I wrote this down because I was flabbergasted when David McMichaels said it. He was a former CIA agent, and I don't think leopards changed their spots, so he's still basically actively or passively acting as a CIA agent. He said, quote, if the technology exists, we will use it, officially or not. So, the way I began to identify HAARP events was to understand from a scientific background the energy budget and scales required to determine whether something was real or...
We have our break coming.
Okay.
And we'll be back in 3 minutes. You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org. This is Sophia, your host, on the show Expansion, and we are in our second hour with geoscientist Lorraine Murray talking about geomagnetic warfare as a form of I guess you could say, environmental assault?
Attack.
Attack. I was going to say attack. I toned it down.
It's a way of manipulating natural energies and releasing them artificially, just like you release the energy from the nucleus of atoms to make atomic bombs and nuclear power. But it's it's huge amounts of energy, and they're actually killing more people. I'm going to explain that with, for instance, earthquakes they're triggering, than they could kill with atomic and hydrogen bombs. So I began to study HAARP and realized it was turned on in 1994. Now, the University of California is the hidden major contractor and controller of the HAARP system, although that's very hidden. And the HAARP facility in Gakona, Alaska, is called a research facility. It's much, much more than a research facility. It's a weapons of mass destruction system. And so I started looking through the scientific literature and through mainstream media and talking to people to see what events after 1994, when HAARP was turned on, could possibly be HAARP events. And it's environmental scalar warfare. So I discovered that these huge rogue waves that were up to 100 feet high and never seen before or photographed or documented, the first one occurred on January 1st, 1995, which was New Year's Day. And it was in the North Sea on an oil platform. And later that year, the Queen Elizabeth II cruise liner was also hit by a huge rogue wave. And then the BBC reported that 200 supercargo ships have disappeared in the last 20 years. And in other BBC articles about rogue waves, a scientist said that there are like 5 boats and ships disappearing a week now around the world. So when you detect something that is out of scale for natural events based on the history of that particular natural event, like waves, then you begin to suspect that something else is going on. The Kobe earthquake of 1995 occurred on January 17th, and I know from scientists I've talked to, I suspect that is a HAARP event because it was used as an excuse to set up a seismic network all around Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and that is for the benefit of the military so that they can spy on ship traffic in China.
I just want to ask you a question about rogue waves.
Yes.
These ships that are disappearing. I did read Sebastian Younger's book, The Perfect Storm, in which he discussed many of these phenomena, rogue waves being one of them. And there have been, I think, I have the book in my hand now, and I did mark some things in it, but I don't know if I can find it while we're on the air. But rogue waves have been seen in the past, up to 60, 100 feet. Nobody seems to know where they come from. And I would guess that HAARP could do such a thing and imitate a natural form that's very rare and then eliminate people or boats with it. But I want to ask you, these boats that are disappearing, are they sinking? Is that what you're trying to say?
They just disappear.
So are they being sucked into the Bermuda Triangle?
No, they just disappear.
Hmm.
Around the world. It's not just in the Bermuda Triangle. I know some ships have disappeared there. Now, these are super cargo ships. They're huge ships. And it's very, very interesting because this would be a way to eliminate your competitor.
I see, yeah.
So what is Sebastian's last name?
Younger, J-U-N-G-E-R. He was the author of
The Perfect Storm,
which was then made into a movie. And I have to tell people, The Perfect Storm is a fantastic book. I mean, it is so deep in its research on oceanography. That's actually not the right word. Ocean conditions, storms. It's very, very good read. He's very talented.
Right. So I'm going to get that book and read it. That's great.
Yeah, it's a mass market paperback, so it's very cheap.
Okay, great.
But so they are eliminating their foes, their competition,
right,
with these natural forms of
right.
attack.
Right.
And
artificially triggered natural forms.
Yeah.
Because a 100-foot wave would only occur if you look at scientific statistics and what we know about the ocean and from ships' logs for the last 400 or 500 years. A 100-foot wave statistically would only occur once in 10,000 years.
Yes, it's very, very, very rare.
Very rare.
But it happens. There was a South African couple, I remember this, who were just in a small boat, and they had to face a 60-foot rogue wave, and they survived it. It's
yes.
amazing.
Yes. Probably a better chance than a large ship, because no ships have been constructed to withstand the tremendous forces of a 100-foot wave. So if ships are not constructed globally to withstand a wave like that, then where are they coming from?
Well, again, if they're that rare, then it could be that people don't ever expect them.
But they're not rare. Since 1995, they've been documented from satellites all over the world.
Yeah, so the incidents have changed since with the advent of HARP.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's something to consider, certainly.
Right. That tips the observation to something that would make any scientist very suspicious.
Yes.
So then the Sumatra earthquake and tsunami, which occurred on December 26, 2006, was definitely a HARP-triggered event. And symbolically, you know, the first rogue wave was reported on New Year's Day. The Sumatra earthquake occurred on Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas in England. And it's a huge celebration, day of celebration, and I've been in England and Ireland. They always have a Boxing Day, a fox hunt, and people spend all Christmas Day shining their boots and saddles. They're really not interested in Christmas as much as they are in the fox hunt on Boxing Day. Then the Hurricane Katrina, of course, in 2005 was definitely a HARP event. And I have a NASA website photo of a beam, one of these space beams, going into the top of Hurricane Katrina. The photo was taken from a plane that was flying over the hurricane, probably Navy. And FEMA, on September the 10th, 2001, the day before 9/11, announced in the mainstream media, predicted that there would be a terrorist event in New York City, a hurricane disaster in New Orleans, and an earthquake disaster on the West Coast or in California. So, goodness, the first out of those three predictions occurred the very next day on September 11th, 2001. Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans in 2005, just 4 years later. And we're still waiting for the big earthquake in California, which is where I live. I am not looking forward to that. Then a Black Sea storm event occurred in November of 2007. And I had a Turkish naval officer as a roommate. And I'd been telling him about HAARP, and he called me into his room late one night and said, look, I want you to see the Turkish news on my computer. It was nowhere in the U.S. news, nowhere. And he said, first of all, there are no storms in November ever in the Black Sea. And secondly, even in the storm season, no storm has ever occurred that is this intense and is destructive. Now, I investigated what was going on in the geopolitical world, and I discovered that Putin, the president of Russia, and Bush, who represents the international and Wall Street bankers, the interests of them, were fighting it out in the alley over Central Asian oil pipeline. And Putin had just succeeded in negotiating oil pipeline contracts with the Ukraine and, I believe, with Azerbaijan.
Well, we are coming up on a short break. We'll be back on the other side. You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is the show Expansion, and I'm Sophia, your host. And we have with us Lorraine Murray, the wonderful geoscientist who has put all kinds of dots together. And today we're discussing HAARP, geomagnetic warfare, and in particular environmental calamities, the big earthquake of California that hasn't struck yet. And I, too, live in California, Lorraine, in the south. And, in fact, actually, I don't know if it's safe to say this or not, but I heard the other day that there is going to be something in the manner of an earthquake next week.
Oh, no.
Yes, centered in L.A.
Oh.
So it came from someone who is a bit psychic, so I don't know if it's true or not, but I think we all have to be on guard with water and provisions and then whatever else. We have a... the San Andreas Fault Line runs offshore in South Orange County. So San Diego County doesn't have the fault running directly under the land. It's underwater in the ocean. And I have noticed in the last year these tsunami hazard zone signs that have gone up on PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, up and down in all kinds of the beach areas and the roadside, as though warning us that we will be experiencing a tsunami. And I had friends who recently moved here, and their welcome kit from the city of La Jolla was a booklet of emergency, you know, instructions, and one of the categories was tsunami. Isn't that interesting? So if the earthquake strikes, my thinking is San Diego County will experience a tsunami because the fault line lies underwater.
Well, that's very possible. And, you know, you have to remember that the biggest Navy base on the West Coast is at Coronado in the San Diego area.
Yes, and then that would make you think that they're not going to do it, because why would they flood out their own headquarters?
Well, those are good questions to ask. People ask me all the time, why would they poison the whole world with radiation? It's going to kill them and their children. And, you know, we're dealing with, not with logic, we're dealing with insanity. These people are really off their rockers, they're cuckoo. And you can just tell by Kissinger's and Brzezinski's quotes and David Rockefeller, these people do not think like us. They do not have the same values that we have. And so what we project onto them is totally irrelevant, because they're not like us.
Yes, they seem to be operating in a whole different way toward life in general. And I wanted to go into that with you a little bit, because you, in your own talks with me in the past, have mentioned that you love life. And I think most of us do. We're innocent, you know. We live on the planet. We were granted life by something apart from ourselves, and it's our right to experience the Earth and ourselves as a viable, non-threatened life form. And the kind of threats that are being imposed on us today are not natural.
There's a good answer. We're normal. We're just normal people, like citizens around the world, who want to live our lives, to have a reasonable amount of freedom. That's the democratic movement, which is opposed globally by the divine right, kings and queens and arrogant leaders. And I think that this is an expression of narcissism. You can read books on narcissism and you begin to understand that many leaders and CEOs of corporations are actually very narcissistic people. And narcissism is really the absence of unconditional love and good parenting from a mother in the first year of a baby's life. And it's set up that early. It's quite incredible that the first year is so important, but it is. And it sets up the emotional structure of a human being, and that's what they carry through them with them. It carries them through the rest of their lives. Now, that narcissism is a spectrum, so it can be someone like Rudolph Valentino, who just was a lover for women, but he just used them and discarded them. He had absolutely no empathy or sympathy or concern at all about how he hurt those women. He really didn't care. He didn't love himself. He had terrible parenting, and there are probably other factors that contribute to narcissism as well. But at the other end of that spectrum are people like Edward Teller, who love to make huge bombs. Even before the atomic bomb was finished, he was already trying to get people to support the development of the hydrogen bomb. I mean, they hadn't even tested the atomic bomb. So these are people who really, really love to kill and destroy life. And the only thing that can explain that is something that happened in their childhood, or perhaps an inherited personality that creates.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Last month, Ready Reserve Foods stated that by fall, food would be in short supply and the government would be forced to impose controls on food and food distribution because of civil unrest and panic. Well, the floods in the heartland of America have all but assured this will happen. It is estimated that 5 million acres of farmland will not be producing over 700 million bushels of corn alone. If you have ever thought about storing food, now is the time to do so. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202 for a free catalog. Larry Matlack, president of the American Agriculture Movement, stated on June 6th, that the USDA has only enough wheat stored to make one half of a loaf of bread for every American. Visit us on the web at ReadyReserveFoods.com. 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Act now.
How many of you have started your day, gone to work, and felt tired and weighed down? Or you go out at night to dinner, and you're uncomfortable because you're bloated and gassy? Well, the reason for this is that you might not be going to the bathroom enough. Huh, I know people that go to the bathroom once every 4 days, and they think that it's normal. But the worst scenario is when you look down at your belt line, you see your belly sticking out, but you know it's not fat. It's all that food you ate from days before. Well, from Nutritional Leaders New Vitality comes a great product called Colon and Body Cleanse. I take New Vitality's Colon and Body Cleanse because this product is like giving your body a shower on the inside. It cleans your digestive system by sweeping out your 25 feet of intestinal tract with natural herbs. I feel alive and lighter because I don't have anything weighing me down anymore. To try the Colon and Body Cleanse, call 1-800-362-5848. The first 100 callers will get a free gift. Don't wait. Call now. 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host on Expansion. It's a Friday show only. And I am speaking with Lorraine Murray, geoscientist. We are discussing HAARP. We are discussing geomagnetic warfare. We're discussing weapons of mass destruction as an integrated system used by not our enemy, but our governments. I feel, Lorraine, it's too kind to say that these people didn't have the right parenting, and there's something much bigger than that that they're serving.
It's greed-based, and there's a very, very good book which is out of print. It's called The Tyranny of Malice. The Tyranny of Malice, and it has a photograph of Hitler on the cover. And I really learned a lot from that book and also books that I read on narcissism. You can just get them over the internet used, even though they're out of print. I recommend that people read The Tyranny of Malice. It's really excellent in explaining how malice originates. And basically, these sociopaths we're talking about are really full of malice. And this is a human condition. It's part of spiritual warfare going back to throughout the whole history of humanity. Now,
I just want to let you know that we have a caller on the line, and before we get into another subject,
yes,
can we take this call?
Sure.
Okay, this is Carl in Canada.
Hello, Carl.
Hello. Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, hi. I was just calling, listening into what you were talking about, narcissism. And, you know, I think this goes back thousands of years, too. I totally agree with you, you know, back to Babylon and ancient Egypt. And, you know, I just, you know, can't stand. I look at all this evil going on and these people, you know, who just practice tyranny. And it seems like, you know, it is something spiritual, you know, between the forces of good and evil that are pushing all of this, driving this, you know, this world, you know, on the, to the point where we are today, you know. And I've, you know, suffered, you know, injustice and my own situation, you know, why I came to Canada from the United States. You know, it's just disgusting. You know, I can see how people just don't care about truth, you know, or anything. It's just very, you know, it makes me very upset to see this. You know, I care, I look. You know, I love, you know, the good things in this world. I like, you know, to have my life. And then look at these people who just want to impose themselves on others and just don't care. You know, it's just very sad, you know.
Well, that's all coming out of the City of London.
Yeah.
This is the Tavistock Institute and the CIA with MK Ultra.
Yeah.
This whole very sick society that we're living in, which destroys mothers and children and babies and separates families, breaks them up, destroys lives, targets the poor and the people of color, marginalizes people. It's all exploitation. It's just harvesting the citizens. And the bankers, the international bankers, are doing this. There's a whole history of it.
Yeah.
Harry Ickes, I-C-K-E-S, engineered the starvation deaths of 8 million people in the United States, mostly between 1932 and 33, at the same time that 7 million people starved in Russia. The Russians were small farmers. Stalin wanted their land to turn into communes, so he just starved them to death because they didn't want to give their land to him. They wanted to pass it on to their children. In the United States, Harry Ickes engineered the deaths of mostly 8 million wealthy farmers or well-to-do farmers because it was another land grab, exactly what's going on now. And he was the same person who sent the Japanese Americans to prison camps in World War II so that they could do a land grab on their valuable farmland. So what we're doing, what we're dealing with, is spiritual warfare on a global scale going back thousands of years, and the only way we can fight it is with awareness. And you're part of a global, diffuse, spiritual network that is fighting back. It's hard to identify which protects it, but I'm meeting more and more people all over the world, and now you're a new one, and I just want you to know that you're not alone.
No, I know there are others out there, but it just disgusts me. You know, I made criticism of Bush family and of the U.S. government, the injustices, and basically they railroaded me into prison, used false information.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And they don't even want to look at the evidence. I present evidence to them, and they just don't want to hear it because
they're part of the whole network.
I know. And I come here to Canada, and it's the same exact way.
Oh, it's because it's even worse in Canada because Canada is basically Jacob Rothschild's colony. It's his company store, and they've actually kept the population down to 150,000 in Canada deliberately. And many terrible practices are being introduced in Canada. The shutting down of small schools, they're doing that in England, and warehousing students in big institutional educational prisons, really. And they are depopulating the border between Canada and the United States for 6 miles on each side with chemtrails and electromagnetic frequencies, technologies, exotic technologies. And, of course, the indigenous people are always under very, very severe genocidal attacks and national policy. So it's just horrible in Canada. I just went up there. It was just awful. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I don't know where to go to get away from it.
Yeah, I'm looking to go, like, to one of these rogue states that don't want to go along with all of this, you know. I'm thinking of going to one of them. But, you know, they could be a target of a war, though, you know.
Well, no, they'll be a target of a earthquake. Just, for example, the Myanmar cyclone, which happened May 3rd, 2008, actually occurred 5 days before they were ready to harvest the rice, the crop, which is, they produce more rice than the United States does. So this will introduce severe starvation and deformed babies, undernourished babies all over their country. And the reason they got targeted is because their leadership won't go along with New World Order or Zionist plans.
Yeah.
I think the China earthquake, which occurred May 12, 2008, is linked to the Olympics. And I've been able to identify other events that occurred in countries that were putting on the Olympics. So there are, it's a socioeconomic, it's a geopolitical, and it's a depopulation weapon.
Yeah, I'm hoping some of, you know, these remaining countries, you know, are able to stand up against this, you know, and be able to, you know, defeat it, you know. It's,
well,
we can
help them. And,
yeah.
I mean, we're a target, too. We're not
yeah.
going to escape from it.
Yeah, I know.
All, this is what I'm talking about, that we have to start taking this information, translating it into our own knowledge, making it part of our consciousness, and regaining our power. Because you can't do it by waiting for other people to do it. You
no.
can't say, I hope these countries will stand up to it. It's in you. It's
yeah.
in me. It's in Loren. And I know it sounds vague and new agey, but I don't believe that. I think we have to experience it. If you walk into the information and you grasp it, that is a huge step.
Yes.
It's enormous. It changes your life. And then we have to find ways to express it to others. And honestly,
yes.
I think people are starting to become more aware and receptive.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we have to express it. You know, I even believe, you know, in the ancient days, the prophets were willing to stand up and express truth. You know, they were willing to die for the truth. People were, you know, willing to stand up. And, you know, I know we have to educate others. If we know something and we don't tell it to somebody else, you know, then it's our guilt for not, you know, letting that person know. It comes back on us, you know. If we know something and we're not willing to share it, which can help somebody else. I believe that our Creator, you know, in the Bible and others believe, you know, that if we know something and we don't tell it to somebody, then we're held accountable.
Right.
Well, it's all a metaphysical journey. Again, the earth, there are so many frequencies. When you talk about metaphysics, you're talking about frequencies. HARP is an activator of frequencies.
That's right.
Our minds, our beings are resonating on different frequency levels. And we have some experience with that. And now it's just a matter of understanding our own control of that. We have a domain in which we can be active. We don't have to be passive. So that's the experiment that all of us have entered into by simply walking into the territory of new information.
That's a good explanation.
There's no need to feel discouraged, although it is enormous. The scope of this, the intent of it, which is so anti-life, which is so, if
horrifying.
You want, horrifying,
yeah.
selfish, narcissistic,
yeah.
evil, some people use, diabolical. It's unlike us. It's not who we are. So my question is, and this is an intellectual question, who are they? Now, I don't care about them as names and personages that we have to go after. People always say we must lock them up. We have to destroy them. I'm not talking about that. I don't know how they operate in their heads, in their beings. Who are they? That's my question.
That's a good question.
And I may never get the answer, but it's something to wonder about.
Well, in the book I mentioned, The Tyranny of Malice, I'm trying to remember, I may not remember all of it, but they gave the roots of malice. They identified it as envy, jealousy, gluttony, and I believe it was covetousness. And that's acquiring more and more and more things. And it's like you're a bottomless pit. You have to have more and more and more. And regarding the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the international bankers, how many trillions of dollars does a family need to survive? It's beyond any comprehension that families would spend millennia acquiring the wealth of the world. Why do they need it? It's bizarre.
Well, I would say, again, you know, who am I? But this is just my response. It's beyond wealth. It's not about wealth. It's about acquiring control of human dignity. Because when you own everything, and they do,
Yes.
For all intents and purposes, they already own it all. They print the money as they please, so they own it.
Yes.
But they don't own human dignity, and they don't own human free will.
That's what they want to control.
That's it. And how do they get those things? Those are the things about humans that are the most precious, the most unique, and the most unpredictable and uncontrollable. You cannot predict what somebody's going to do unless and until you mind control them and you program them. So this is about programming humanity.
It's about controlling and destroying the spirit of man.
That's right. And the only way to repossess our spirit is to walk right into it and wake it up.
That's right.
And once you are in possession of your awareness, you are in possession of your spirit, and there is no telling what you'll be able to do.
That's right.
So I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think this is the new land, the journey that we all have to start taking.
It's a new opportunity.
Yes. And it's something that we can demonstrate to others in small ways. Inspiration is always being renewed until somebody breaks your spirit.
That's right.
And you can't let that happen.
That's right.
So there's a quote here in your, I think it's your 2005 piece,
mm-hmm.
The Planet Earth as Weapon and Target piece.
Yes.
And it's about Katrina. You're quoting Representative Richard Baker from Louisiana. This was in the Wall Street Journal. We finally cleaned up public housing in New Orleans. We couldn't do it, but God did. So yes. Katrina served to shift power and wealth.
That's right.
And that's, now that they have control of the weather, they're going to use it to shift events in our lives, to create events in our lives that shift and transfer our power, our stability, our wealth.
Yes, that's right.
So
Upward.
Vertically transfer. It's attenuation, attrition, contraction.
Right.
This is what, and we're back to the theme of this show. They are creating contraction. We must create expansion.
That's right.
So, interestingly, the 100th monkey viral wave is all about expansion. And there are, we can expand on the horizontal level exponentially.
Right.
The vertical level is actually within us. It's our relationship with spirit and something bigger and deeper,
higher,
faster
frequency.
And higher. Yes.
Higher.
So we have two levels. We have the x-axis and the y-axis on which to expand. And then there's the z-axis, which I haven't defined yet in my own thinking. But these are axes of shape and space.
Right.
And we live in space. So space is not just what the daily events of our lives. It's our dreams, it's our visions, and as someone said to me who was a real linear thinker just a few days ago, what you attain is something that you are envisioning. You have to envision it. And we have to empower ourselves by envisioning our ability to counter this, and our counter to their electromagnetism is our consciousness. It's also a frequency tool.
Yes.
So I don't know if this is our... Yes. Oh, we have John in Arizona on the air, a caller, so we'll pick him up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Expansion on Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Sophia, your host, and we are concluding our interview, second interview with Lorraine Murray, geoscientist. And we have a caller, John, from Arizona, on the line. John?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was going to add something to your conversation. You were asking, who are these people? Why are they so cold? Cold-blooded, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I think David Icke, you know, wrote a series of books about them. He was on Coast to Coast. You know, he's a prolific writer. If you Google him, you might be able to pick up some information. But I think his premise was that they are, you know, he calls them reptilians, I think, okay?
Yes.
And it's got something to do with their brains, okay? You know, they use, you know, the other side of the brain. And he calls them the seed of the serpent.
Lynn, do you have a comment on the reptilian?
Well, you know, that's what they call these people, okay?
Yes. Yeah, I am actually friendly with David, and he has my four HARP interviews up if people want to listen to them. I've been doing them since June and for Co-op Radio in Vancouver. Now, we'll have to get this interview around the Internet, too, Sophia, because they're very, very popular. People are very interested in this new information.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, people like David have been working on this in the past or aspects of it. And I think it's important to take everything in, sift through it, and process it, and then take out what is relevant to you.
Yeah, well, it's got a lot to do with, you know, bloodlines.
Bloodlines, that's right.
Exactly, yeah, because they only follow their own bloodlines.
That's
they
right.
They try to as much as possible.
That's
because
correct.
This trade is carried on.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Yes, Loren, it's this issue, the reptilian theme can be considered a metaphorical theme. I don't quite understand it on every level, but
I think it's a metaphorical theme.
They are very cold-blooded, as John said,
yes.
And they use a different part of their brain.
They're detached from humanity.
Yes.
They're detached from the natural world and nature, and that's how they can use it as a weapon.
Yes. Well, this has been very edifying, although I feel that we got into another aspect of it toward the end, and I hope that you were on that page as well.
What we'll talk about next time is the HARP applications. We talked about mind control, but missile defense, the Navy and the Air Force use it for missile defense. It's used for communications disruption. They can actually use it for subsurface exploration for minerals such as oil and gas or gold or so forth. The rogue waves, I mentioned that. The tectonic events, weather modification, and then these all have economic and geopolitical impacts. And we'll also talk about foreshadowing, which I finally teased out. They're actually foreshadowing events or practice drills that have been identified with many of these disasters.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Loren, for coming back, and I hope to have you frequently on to discuss all of this material.
Well, I'll be very happy to be on your program, and thank you for bringing this to the public. I think they have a right to know.
That's
after
right.
All, they're paying for it.
That's true. It's our money that they print.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate.